Abe Lincoln, don't. She's just trying to get attention, and you're falling for it. Oh, it makes me so mad I could kiss you.
What was that last part?
I'm sorry, what? No, I said I could piss glue. As in, I'm so angry I could piss glue.
I've never heard of that.
But it's a very common expression.
Huh. Well, see ya.
Welcome to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show, the podcast that can hack any system by furiously typing nonsense and shouting, "I'm in." I'm your host, Taylor Cole, and I'm here with Matthew from New Zealand, Lorenz.
You're going down like the One Ring into the fires of Mount Doom.
Dan, shot first, Morin.
Let the Wookiee win.
And Tim, Mr. Rogers.
The only trolley problem my competitors are going to have tonight is me.
Hello to everybody, and thank you for joining us for today's match. We have reached the Chronic Town Division Finals here in our seventh season. The winner of today's game is going to go on to our season finale to compete to become our next Super Mondo Champion of Champions. But in the meantime, here for today is Dan Cassino, our resident scoremaster. How's it going, Dan?
Oh, Taylor, it's just great to be here. This is the playoffs. I'm looking out on the audience in the stands. They're excited. Some of them have been out there tailgating since 8 a.m. And so I'm kind of happy we're up in the skybox because I'll be honest, they look pretty rank down there.
Great way to show your love for the fans by insulting their personal hygiene, Dan. Really appreciate it. Well, also here with us today is our good friend, production master Dave. Hi, Dave.
Jimmy Crack Corn, I hate this book. Jimmy Crack Corn, I hate this book. Jimmy Crack Corn, I hate this book. Let's pretend I read page one.
Well, I think that means it's time to get into our first game of the day, a round of My Champion. In this game, each one of our players has chosen a champion from the world of pop culture, but we pick the battle those champions are fighting. Three-time home version winner on this program, Matthew Lorenz, who is your champion today?
From the Gilbert and Sullivan operetta, The Pirates of Penzance, my champion is the very model of a modern Major General, Major General Stanley.
Podcaster and sci-fi novelist Dan Morin, who have you got for your champion?
I am summoning Captain Christopher Pike from Star Trek Strange New Worlds.
Also with us today is aspiring New Age pianist and competition baking show enthusiast Tim Rogers. Tim, who is your champion?
My champion is going to be Alpha Waymond from Everything Everywhere All at Once.
All right, three champions are all locked in. I am going to be our judge today, so let's spin the scenario wheel. Today's scenario, who is going to hold an easily distracted toddler's attention for the longest amount of time? Matthew, why is Major General Stanley from Gilbert and Sullivan's Pirates of Penzance going to hold an easily distracted toddler's attention for the longest amount of time?
Well, I think the first thing to remember is that Major General Stanley does have seven daughters. So he's already used to having young children around, many young children, one more. Not going to sort of bother him. He's also used to dealing with them. There's no sign of an actual wife to help. So I'm sure that he's got plenty of experience with young kids. And also, he's full of knowledge. So he can just summon up anything that he knows about that he thinks the toddler will be interested in. And he can just talk to them and he can speak silly things very fast and amuse the child that way.
Thank you, Matthew. All right, Dan, make the case for Christopher Pike, specifically the iteration from the recent Star Trek Strange New Worlds.
I would argue Christopher Pike is ideally suited. Not only does he have an entire starship at his disposal full of blinking lights and buttons you can press, which hopefully can be locked out, but he's got a transporter. That's a great way to keep a kid distracted, and you can always beam them down, beam them up again, beam them down, beam them up again. It lasts forever. You just keep going back and forth. If none of that works out, I mean, have you seen the man's hair? That would keep anybody occupied for a long period of time. He's so handsome, and if all else fails, well, you can always set a phaser to stun, right?
Thank you, Dan. All right, Tim, why would Alpha Waymond from the recent Everything Everywhere All at Once be a great candidate for holding an easily distracted toddler's attention for a long period of time?
I think the main thing that Wayman has going for him is he's mastered the ability to jump into or take from the different instances of himself across infinite types of realities and alternate universes. So does the kid want someone who can juggle? Okay, find one who can juggle. Does the kid want someone who is a salsa dancer? Go straight there. But one thing I think is most important is because of all that experience, as we saw, Waymond is very able and willing to cause himself bodily harm, and kids find that hilarious. So whether it's giving yourself paper cuts between every finger or whatever else, Wayman can do that. And you saw what the man can do with a fanny pack. That's, I mean, come on.
All right. Three pretty strong arguments. And I got to say, I'm having a little bit of a hard time deciding between them.
Well, while you decide, let's just take a moment and acknowledge that Dameron has created the ultimate peekaboo with the transporter sending the child to the surface and back to the ship.
And at the same time, that version of peekaboo is potentially scarring and traumatic to a child who may not understand exactly fully what's happening. So for that reason, while it may hold their attention, I'm not necessarily saying that's going to be the most positive experience for anyone involved. And then when it comes to the modern Major General, you know, yes, he's got plenty of, you know, kind of songs and silly voices. But in terms of, you know, quote, dealing with a large amount of children, a lot of times dealing with kids isn't necessarily holding their attention. And then it comes, you know, down to Alpha Waymond, who, yeah, basically because of the kind of technology and skills that he has access to, he pretty much has any skill from any possible infinite version of himself just right there at his disposal, to say nothing of fact of his just, you know, generally charming and warm, kind demeanor. I'm worried that this is setting a precedent that if someone just chooses an Everything Everywhere All at Once character for any future My Champion scenario, that they're just going to win by default because they can summon any necessary skill. So I'm going to keep that in mind for the future. But for today, I have fully been won over by Tim and Alpha Waymond. You are the winner.
Yeah.
So you have won My Champion, which means you now get a crack at the half point. Answer this question correctly, and you'll have half a point more than either of your fellow competitors. Here is your half point question. In Tarsem Singh's 2006 movie, The Fall, much of the action of the film takes place in the form of a story told by an injured stunt person to a young girl in a hospital. What Halt and Catch Fire star plays that stunt person storyteller?
I have no idea on this one, so I'm just going to pass.
Dan knows this one?
Yeah, that'd be Lee Pace.
Yes, Lee Pace is the injured stuntman in the hospital. Now, Tim, you may have missed the half point, but you still get to go first in round one. Story checks out. We often think of nonfiction movies as being stodgy documentaries, but there have been plenty of nonfiction narrative features with Hollywood budgets and star-studded casts, often based on popular nonfiction books. In this game, we'll give you the year of a nonfiction movie, along with the author and title or subtitle of the book it was based on. You name the movie. For instance, if we said it was a 2010 movie based on a book by Ben Mezrich called The Accidental Billionaires, The Founding of Facebook, A Tale of Sex, Money, Genius, and Betrayal, you'd know the movie was...
The Social Network.
Correct, The Social Network. If you need a hint, I can tell you the top-billed star of the movie. 10 points for a correct answer without a hint, and just 5 points after. We're going to start it with Tim. Tim, this is a 2009 movie based on a book by Julie Powell with the subtitle, My Year of Cooking Dangerously.
Eat, Pray, Love.
Matthew?
Is that Julie and Julia?
Yes, with Amy Adams and Meryl Streep, Julie and Julia. Matthew, this next one's for you. It's a 2012 movie based on the Doris Kearns Goodwin book titled, Team of Rivals, The Political Genius of Blank.
Hint, please.
This movie stars Daniel Day-Lewis.
2012, Daniel Day-Lewis. Pass.
Abe Lincoln, don't.
Yes, that is Lincoln from the year 2012, based on that Doris Kearns Goodwin book with a screenplay by Tony Kushner. Next up, we're over to Dan. It's a 2002 movie adapted from a Susan Orlean book titled The Orchid Thief.
I believe that'd be Adaptation.
Correct for the full 10 points. we're back to Tim. It's a 2000 movie based on the Sebastian Younger book, subtitled A True Story of Men Against the Sea.
2000, I probably should go for it, but I'm just going to go for it again. And The Perfect Storm.
Full 10. He went for it. Next up, we are back to Matthew. It's a 2002 movie based on a book by Frank Abagnale and Stan Redding with the subtitle The Amazing True Story of the Youngest and Most Daring Con Man in the History of Fun and Profit.
I believe that was Catch Me If You Can.
Yes, the Leonardo DiCaprio movie. Next to Dan, it's a 2005 movie based on a book by Robert Bayer with the subtitle The True Story of a Ground Soldier in the CIA's War on Terrorism.
2005, War on Terrorism. I'm going to take the hint on that one.
This movie stars George Clooney.
Oh, boy. Would that be Syriana?
Yes, in his Oscar-winning performance in Syriana. We are back over to Tim, also a 2005 movie. This one based on a book by George Jonas titled Vengeance, The True Story of an Israeli Counterterrorist Team.
True Story of an Israeli Counterterrorist Team. Not sure about the year, but I'm going to go with Munich.
Yes, another Spielberg movie with a Tony Kushner screenplay, that is Munich. We are back to Matthew. This is a 2007 movie based on a book by George Kreile, subtitled The Extraordinary Story of How the Wildest Man in Congress and a Rogue CIA Agent Changed the History of Our Times.
Wildest Man in Congress and a Rogue CIA Agent. I'll ask for a hint, please.
This movie stars Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks, 2007. I'm gonna have to pass on this as well.
Tim knows this one?
Charlie Wilson's War.
Oh. That is correct. Next up, we're back to Dan. This is a 2008 movie based on a book by John Grogan, subtitled Life and Love with the World's Worst Dog.
Life and Love with the World's Worst Dog. Well, I don't think Beethoven was nonfiction. The World's Worst Dog. I think I'm going to take the hint again.
This movie stars Owen Wilson.
Oh, would this be Marley and Me?
That's correct for 5, which will take us into our first score update from Scoremaster Dan.
Mostly through round 1, we have a very tight game. Matthew's got 10 points. Dan and Tim are tied for lead. They each have 20.
All right, getting back into it with another one for Tim. Tim, this movie is from 2015, based on a Michael Lewis book subtitled Inside the Doomsday Machine.
Inside the Doomsday Machine. There have been so many Michael Lewis, I don't want to go too far. Can I get the hint?
This movie stars Christian Bale.
Is that The Big Short?
Correct for 5. Back to Matthew. A movie from the year 2009, also based on a Michael Lewis book with the subtitle Evolution of a Game.
Evolution of a Game. Would that be... I'm going to take a swing for it. Is it Moneyball?
Oh.
In this case, this is The Blind Side, a different sports-related Michael Lewis book. Next up, back to Dan. This movie is from 2004, based off an H.G. Bissinger book subtitled A Town, A Team, A Dream.
2004. Oh, I've got a guess, but there's too many possibilities. I'm going to go for the hint on this one.
This movie stars Billy Bob Thornton.
A Town, A Dream, Billy Bob Thornton. Would this be Friday Night Lights?
Correct for 5. Everyone's last nonfiction book adaptation. This one is for Tim. The movie is from the year 2012, based on a book by Tony Mendez titled The Master of Disguise.
If I remember correctly, Tony Mendez was the guy who led the team. So I'm going to go with Argo.
Correct for the full 10 with Ben Affleck playing Tony Mendez in that movie.
Wait, Taylor, are you telling me that The Master of Disguise, that movie, and Argo are based on the same book? Because that doesn't sound plausible at all.
And they both won Best Picture, which is crazy. Next up, we're back to Matthew. This is a 2001 movie based on a book by Mark Bowden, subtitled A Story of Modern War.
2001, Story of Modern War. I'm gonna have to ask for a hint, please.
This movie stars Josh Hartnett.
Oh, okay, so a very memorable star there, whose filmography I have memorized. And apparently I'm not gonna pull it. I have no idea.
Dan?
This is Black Hawk Down?
That is Ridley Scott's Black Hawk Down. And closing out round one with one more for Dan. This is a 2006 movie based off an Eric Schlosser book subtitled The Dark Side of the All-American Meal.
Oh, The Dark Side of the All-American Meal. Oh, I've got some ideas here. Do I go big? Do I go for the hint? I'm going to go for the hint.
This movie stars Patricia Arquette.
Oh boy, Patricia Arquette. Dark Side of the American Meal. This is like something fast food related. But the only thing I'm coming up with is a documentary. Oh, I don't have this one. So I'm just going to guess Super Size Me.
Tim?
Fast Food Nation.
Yes, no docs in this game, but that is the scripted Richard Linklater movie, Fast Food Nation. Well, that'll do it for round one. Up next, the scores from Dan and on to round two.
Going to round two, it's time for the Death Valley score break. That's right, Death Valley. It's like Wellington Paranormal, but not, you know, funny. At this point, Tim has 35 points in the lead. Dan is close by with 25. Matthew's in third place with 10, but that means he'll get to go first in round two.
It also means Matthew could potentially vault himself into the lead with The Threequalizer. Matthew, I'm going to ask you a question that has three possible answers. You're going to have three guesses to match as many of them as you can. 10 points for each answer you can match. Here is your Threequalizer question. Actors Timothy Chalamet and Jack Dylan Grazer have both starred in projects set in Italy, directed by Luca Guadagnino. Chalamet in Call Me By Your Name and Grazer in HBO's We Are Who We Are. They also each starred in movies that premiered in U.S. theaters on October 22nd, 2021. Two of those movies are live-action movies starring Timothy Chalamet, and one is an animated movie starring Grazer. What are those three movies?
Okay, one of them is definitely Dune. I have no idea about the animated film, and I'm trying to think what else Chalamet was in that came out at the same time. I'm stumped. Pass.
10 points for Dune. The other Chalamet movie is Wes Anderson's The French Dispatch, released last October. And the animated movie with Jack Dylan Grazer is Ron's Gone Wrong. It was also in Luca last year, but on that date was the Fox animation movie Ron's Gone Wrong. So 10 points to Matthew will take us right into round two, entitled Nights to Remember. In the days of streaming TV series, the binge model, and video on demand, it's easy to forget that TV shows used to air only during specific time slots on specific nights of the week, when a splashy series premiere was a can't-miss event, to the point where sometimes two iconic shows would start their runs on the same night. In this game, I'll read you a mashed-up description of two TV shows' premiere episodes that aired on the same night. You name the two shows. For example, if I said that a teen detective has to bring backup to investigate both the murder of her best friend, Lily, as well as the cause of crash of Oceanic Airlines Flight 815 onto a mysterious polar bear-laden island, you'd know those shows were
Veronica Mars
and
Lost.
Yes, Veronica Mars and Lost, 10 points for each of the two shows that you can identify. Then, if you can name the year that both shows debuted, you can earn another 10 points. In this case, both those shows debuted in the year 2004, specifically September 22nd, 2004, but you just need the year. Let's kick off round two with Matthew. A computer service worker with CIA data encoded in his brain teams up with four nerds and their across-the-hall neighbor.
I believe that is Chuck and The Big Bang Theory.
20 points for Matthew. What's the year of the debut of those two shows?
So I believe Chuck had its final episode in 2012 and ran for five seasons. So 2011, 2010, 2007.
Some incredible backwards math from Matthew. The full 30 on that question. Next up to Dan. After her boyfriend is killed, a secret agent discovers she might not be working for the good guys, so she enlists Detective Gorin to help her investigate a jewelry heist.
Oh boy. Okay, well, Detective Gorin, I don't know, but the first one is Alias. And then Detective Gorin, oh boy. So it's a jewelry heist, a TV show. Where there's a jewelry heist. Oh, God, I should know this. I love heist shows. And I'm not coming up with anything, so I'm just going to guess. Oh, boy, what have I got for Thief?
That other show with Detective Gorin and a jewelry heist in its pilot is Law & Order Criminal Intent. But, Dan, can you name the year of the debut of both Alias and Law & Order CI?
I'm going to say 2001.
Correct for another 10. Well done. Next up, we are over to Tim. A naval commander's death is ruled a murder, and the only people who can properly investigate are a North Carolina high school basketball team.
So for the first part, I'm going to start with NCIS. And then North Carolina high school basketball team would be... I got nothing on that one. Pass.
That show is One Tree Hill, about North Carolina high school basketball players. But Tim, can you name the year of the debut of NCIS and One Tree Hill?
Trying to work backwards, both my wife and my mom love NCIS and have watched every season, so I've seen all the DVDs, and I'm trying to remember where we are right now, and if I'm doing that math, I think it's 2003.
Wow.
Incredible math from everyone. Yeah. So far.
I love that when Tim had to take 2022 and subtract 19 seasons out of NCIS.
Yeah, I remember, what's the last one I bought my mom for her birthday? Okay, we can get...
Is Mark Harmon being rebuilt into a cyborg by this point?
I don't know. Probably.
What's that? Right, what's that? The ship of whatever, you know? Is he
oh, ship of Theseus?
Yeah, is he still Mark Harmon?
Still Mark Harmon? Yeah.
We are back to Matthew for this same night debut TV mashup. Contestants compete in lightning fast challenges involving household items in order to achieve victory in the battles of Okinawa and Iwo Jima.
Is one of those the Pacific? I don't know about that one.
Tim?
Minute to Win It?
Yes.
Yes, the NBC game show Minute to Win It with the Pacific. Matthew, what is the year of the debut for those two shows?
I'm gonna guess about 2009.
Off by one, 2010, March 14th specifically. We're back to Dan. A pair of hapless musicians from the Southern Hemisphere come to America to take a job hauling critical supplies across hundreds of miles of frozen lakes to Canadian diamond mines.
Well, the first one is Flight of the Conchords. And the second one sounds like, was it Ice Road Truckers? Okay. A show I have literally never seen an episode of.
Dan, what's the year of the debut of those two shows?
I have I have the DVDs of the first season of Fly the Conchords. Can't remember what year it was. I'm trying to think back to like when did I watch that. I feel like it was fairly early. I'm gonna say like 2006.
2007. Once again, off by one. Pretty good.
Now, Dan, I know you haven't seen Ice Road Truckers, but I feel like you've got a sense of what it's about.
Would you say there are trucks on a road made of some material that is perhaps cold.
Got it.
Very cold water, perhaps.
Next up to Tim. An all-knowing, ultra-secretive blog clues these preppy teens into the latest scoop. A chef is helping out a family-owned Italian restaurant with subpar food, no publicity, and an arrogant owner.
So for the second one, I'll start with Restaurant Impossible. And if it's not that one, then we can go for Kitchen Rescue.
Dan?
I think the first one's Gossip Girl. And the second one, is it Kitchen Confidential?
We're circling around that second one. It is Kitchen Nightmares, the Gordon Ramsay show, with that specific Italian restaurant being the subject of its first episode. But what year was that first episode, Tim?
I'm less familiar with both of these, but it feels like around 2011.
Matthew?
Was it 2006?
2007. So much closer there from Matthew. September of 2007. Matthew, this next one is for you. An American revolutionary is recruited to go undercover in the Queen's military in order to steal secrets about a new video compression algorithm made by Pied Piper.
Okay, so the video compression algorithm is Silicon Valley. And the American revolutionary spy, was it called Turn?
Turn, later renamed to Turn Washington Spies, but at the beginning was indeed called Turn. Matthew, what is the year of debut for both Turn and Silicon Valley?
I'm gonna guess 2012.
2014, so right in the right realm, but 2014 is our answer there. Next up, back to Dan. A doctor resigns from her hospital to take a position at the Oceanside Wellness Center, where she treats a successful lawyer pulled back into his old family of rich sickos after his father dies in a mysterious plane crash.
Well, second one, is that Dirty Sexy Money? Watched all of that show. The first one, Oceanside Wellness, doctor resigns. Boy, that does not ring a bell, so I'm going to have to take a stab in the dark here and say, oh God, what's a show with a doctor who resigns? Royal Pains.
In this case, she's resigning to enter Private Practice. That is the Grey's Anatomy spinoff, Private Practice. Dan, what year did both Private Practice and Dirty Sexy Money debut?
That's a while back. Dirty Sexy Money ran for 2 seasons, and it was, I want to say, in the, let's say, 2010.
2007.
Yeah, earlier.
Next up to Tim. An FBI agent recruits a quirky forensic anthropologist to join his skeleton crew in order to help him and his brother hunt demons and spirits to find his missing father.
So I'm hoping that was an intentional pun or something in the first one. So Bones. And for the second half, Supernatural.
Very good, Tim. What is the year of debut of Bones and Supernatural?
Trying to go back. I know Supernatural is on forever. So trying to think through the Bones part of it. And 2005.
Right on the money for another 10, which will take us into our next score update from Scoremaster Dan.
Wow, Tara, we have an incredibly tight game, as befits the playoffs. Right now, Tim is in lead with 85 points, Matthew's close behind with 80, And Dan is close behind that with 75. Really, wow. Could not be tighter.
All right, see if we can keep it close with this next same-date premiere TV mashup for Matthew. A seasoned LAPD officer goes on watch with a brand new rookie who brings a sunny, nice core disposition and love for waffles in pushing public projects through low-level government bureaucracy.
Okay, this is a shot in the dark, but is that the TV version of Training Day? I have no idea about either of those. Sorry. Pass.
Dan?
Second one sounds like Parks and Recreation.
Oh, okay. First now one, I feel stupid.
Rings a bell, but I can't place it.
Parks and Rec, which debuted on the same day as Southland, the NBC show that went to TNT, Southland. So, Matthew, what year did both Southland and Parks and Rec debut?
Let's guess 2008?
2009, very close.
Basically, I just need to take my guess and add one.
That's the classic off by one errors.
All right, next up to Dan. An arrogant spy's boss/mother assigns him to find a mole in the organization by going undercover at a local college, joining a Spanish study group of misfits.
Okay, so the second one is Community. First one, an arrogant spy's boss/mother. We already did Chuck. We already did Alias. And I am totally drawing a blank. Crap. Arrogant spy.
That spy whose boss is his mom is Sterling Archer on Archer, debuting the same day as Community. Now, Dan, what is the year of debut of both Archer and Community?
Okay, Community ran... Did it get to six seasons before it had a movie? I didn't get the movie yet, but I think it got to six seasons. Then it bounced around a bunch, so... What year did it start? I'm going to say 2008.
Once again, the guess is 2008, but the answer is 2009. 2009, September 17th. Next up, over to Tim. A 40-something single woman in Florida attempts to reinvigorate her dating life, but complications arise when her brother and his partner adopt a girl from Vietnam and her father's new Colombian wife makes a scene with her son.
So I'll start at the end with Modern Family. 40-something woman in Florida. I don't have that one, so pass.
Matthew?
Is it Cougar Town?
Cougar Town, yes. Both on the same night on the same network. But what year did Cougar Town and Modern Family premiere? Tim?
2010.
Once again, 2009, off by 1 year. All in 2009. One more mixed same-night premiere TV description per player. This one is for Matthew. An alcoholic and his six children struggle through their dysfunctional lives in Chicago, and things get worse when a rumor starts that their family restaurant is serving human flesh from the crematorium next door.
Okay. Well, I know Bob's Burgers is next to a funeral home, so I'm gonna guess that's Bob's Burgers. An alcoholic with six children in Chicago. I don't think I know that.
Dan?
Is that Shameless?
Oh.
Yes, the U.S. version of Shameless. Matthew, what is the premiere year for Bob's Burgers and the American Shameless?
Okay, so Bob's Burgers is around season 12 now. I'm going to guess 2010.
Bob's Burgers did just finish season 12, but it premiered mid-season in January of 2011. So if it had the full-length season for season one, it would have been 2010.
Always had one.
Next up to Dan. The FBI's Behavioral Analysis Unit calls Gideon, a veteran profiler on medical leave, back to permanent duty to help a specter that's haunting a woman on her wedding day cross over back into the spirit world.
Jesus. The Ghost Whisperer?
Nice.
Another show I've never seen. Behavioral Analysis Unit, a veteran profiler. The only show I can think of that... What was the show that Profiler? There was a show called Profiler. I don't know if that's it, though. Oh, boy. A veteran profiler on medical leave. I don't usually watch the... I'll go with Profiler.
Tim?
That is The Great Manny Patinkin and Criminal Minds.
Criminal Minds.
Yes, not Criminal sure. Minds and Ghost Whisperer. Now, what's the year of debut for those two shows, Dan?
Those are both pretty early. I'm going to say 2002?
2005, a little bit later, 2005. And we'll close out round two with Tim. A young industrialist returns to society to fight crime after years living on an island, but ends up being forced to go on tour as an opening act for a younger, hipper country music star.
Okay, I'm gonna start by guessing Nashville, and assuming that that was not the young industrialist fighting crime, then we'll go with Batman the Animated Series.
Matthew?
Arrow?
Recap that show for so many years on a podcast.
Yes, Arrow and Nashville premiering on the same day. In what year, Tim?
I think that's a little bit newer than some of the ones we've been talking about. So I am going to go with 2016.
2012 is the debut of those two shows, October of 2012. Well, that'll do it for round two. Up next, another score update from Dan and on to our final round. Before we get to the final round of play, it's time for the home version. Correctly guess the answer to Dan's riddle by the time next week's episode comes out, and you can win fabulous prizes like the chance to name a score break here on the show. Take it away, Dan.
Within our nation's capital in 2054, just thinking about murder makes the cops break down your door. Without the sister present, the whole program is at stake, but deception is uncovered via ripples on the lake.
Think you know that answer? Then head to usaquizshow.com/riddle and submit that answer and win that prize. Then we'll post the answer next week on our social media pages. We are at USA Quiz Show on both Instagram and Twitter. Think you're ready to come up and play in the big leagues? Then fill out an application at our website, usaquizshow.com/apply, and we may see you here in a future season. Thanks for the riddle, Dan. How about a score update?
Going to round three, it's time for the Tom Wolfe score break. Tom Wolfe? No, there's nothing creepy about a septuagenarian dandy hanging around sorority girls for I Am Charlotte Simmons. Why would you even think that? Right now, Tim has a narrow lead with 105 points. Dan is close by with 95. Matthew has 90, so he'll get to go first in round three and needs just two correct answers in order to pull into the lead.
It is a tight game, and anything can still happen here in the lightning round. Players get their choice of categories and are given 90 seconds to answer as many questions in that category as possible. 10 points for each correct answer you can provide. Today's categories are novelty treats, breaking wind, cautious clay, and music rights issues. Now, these topics aren't 100% clear from their names alone, so pick the thing that you think you're going to do the best on. Or maybe you're going to want to keep something easy away from one of your fellow players. Matthew, in a very close third place, you get to choose first. Which of the four categories would you like? Once again, they are novelty treats, breaking wind, cautious clay, and music rights issues.
I'm going to go with novelty treats, please.
You have a guess as to where this is going?
I would have no idea.
Well, in this case, we're not talking about ice cream. The novel in question is Pulitzer Prize-winning novel, specifically in the fiction category. So this is all about Pulitzer Prize winners for fiction and their various screen adaptations. Matthew, 90 seconds on the clock. Timer starts when I finish reading the first question. Are you ready?
I guess so.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn. From this movie is the AFI's number one movie quote.
Gone with the Wind.
The Hours, in part, chronicles the life of this Mrs. Dalloway author.
Virginia Woolf.
The Grapes of Wrath primarily chronicles the story of this family.
Pass.
Barry Jenkins directed a series adaptation of this Colson Whitehead novel for Amazon.
Pass.
Robert Duvall has a small appearance as this character at the end of To Kill a Mockingbird.
Pass.
This talk show host starred in and produced the film version of Beloved.
Oprah Winfrey.
He plays Newland Archer in the 1993 film adaptation of Edith Wharton's The Age of Innocence.
Daniel Day-Lewis.
This Booth Tarkington novel later became Orson Welles' film follow-up to Citizen Kane.
The Magnificent Ambersons.
This 1985 Spielberg movie is tied for the most Oscar-nominated film to win no Oscars.
Pass.
This political movie won the 1949 Best Picture Oscar just 2 years after the novel's publication.
I know it. Pass.
This old 55 singer has a supporting role in the 1987 movie Ironweed.
Pass.
Spencer Tracy and Anthony Quinn have played the title character from this Hemingway novel.
The Old Man and the Sea?
Correct, but after the buzzer. All right, Dan, let's hear the Matthew report.
So Matthew has several passes. Let's go through those first. The Grapes of Wrath primarily follows the Joad family. The Barry Jenkins series for Amazon was The Underground Railroad. Robert Duvall plays Boo Radley for a little bit at the end of To Kill a Mockingbird. It's The Color Purple that's tied for the most Oscar-nominated film to win no Oscars. Hey, Taylor, what is the other most Oscar-nominated film to win no Oscars?
The Turning Point.
All right. So I knew he'd know that. The political movie that won the 1949 Best Picture Oscar is All the King's Men, and Tom Waits is the singer of Old 55 that has a supporting role in Ironweed. Matthew needed just 2 correct answers to pull in the lead. He got 5. He now has 140 points and the lead. Dan is up next. He'll have to match that performance with 5 correct answers if he wants to pull into first.
All right, Dan, 3 category choices left for you. They are Breaking Wind, Cautious Clay, and music rights issues.
Might as well be throwing a dart at a dartboard here. Let's go with Cautious Clay.
You want to take a guess as to where this is going?
God, anything feels bad. Something about Muhammad Ali? Probably not.
Yeah, we're not going quite into the realm of Muhammad Ali. In this case, the clay is cautious because it's being filmed one frame at a time. This is all about stop-motion animated movies. 90 seconds on the clock. Dan, are you ready?
Nope, but let's do it anyway.
Wallace and Gromit's feature film debut concerns the curse of this fictional creature.
The were-rabbit.
This 1993 stop-motion holiday film was released by Disney under its Touchstone label.
Pass.
This foul stop-motion film started life as a spoof of The Great Escape.
Chicken Run.
My Life as a Courgette had its title changed to this for the English language release.
Pass.
Tim Burton adopted his early short film into this 2012 stop-motion movie.
It's Nightmare Before Christmas?
Frankenweenie. Wes Anderson adapts this author with Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Roald Dahl.
This The Thing and They Live actor is the cat in Coraline.
Roddy Piper.
Keith David. These birds carry James and the Giant Peach to New York City.
Pigeons?
Seagulls. Farmageddon is the second feature-length movie for this ovine character.
Oh, Shaun the Sheep.
Jennifer Jason Leigh sings Cyndi Lauper in this 2015 movie.
Pass.
She voices the titular Corpse Bride.
Pass.
Kubo wields this magical two-stringed instrument.
What is the... Pass.
The Pirates in an Adventure with Scientists was given this subtitle for its U.S. release.
Nope, nothing.
That is Band of Misfits, the American retitling of that Aardman animation movie. All right, Dan, let's hear the Dan report.
Dan, in a tough round, let's go through the passes. The 1993 stop-motion holiday film, The Nightmare Before Christmas, is of course not a Christmas movie, it's a Halloween movie. That's why they released it on Halloween. It was released on the Touchstone label, but Disney afterwards said, yeah, it's Disney, why do you ask? Of course it's Disney. Who would even question that? My Life as a Courgette, of course, was turned into My Life as a Zucchini, because no one in America knows what a courgette is. Jennifer Jason Leigh sings Cyndi Lauper in Anomalisa, and Helena Bonham Carter provides the voice for the Corpse Bride. Kubo has a magical shamisen. And that's just amazing that it's all done by stop motion. A shockingly good stop motion, that movie. Dan needed 5 correct answers in order to pull into first. He had just 4, so he finished up with 135 and not in first place. It's now all down to Tim. He has 105 points. He'll need to get 4 correct answers in order to take the win. If he doesn't, Matthew's going to be our victor.
All right, Tim, pressure's on. 2 category choices left for you. They are Breaking Wind and Music Rights Issues.
However tempting Breaking Wind is, I'm going to go with Music Rights Issues.
You want to take a guess as to where this is going?
I am hoping it is as literal as possible and just people who have sued other people over songs, but I'm not sure.
No, in this case, we're talking about the music rights issues that long delayed any DVD release of the MTV sketch comedy series, The State. So we're going to be talking about alumni of that group, The State, and all the different projects they've gone on to in the years since.
Oh, good.
90 seconds on the clock. Tim, are you ready?
Sure.
The Wet Hot American Summer prequel series had this subtitle.
Pass.
Ken Marino played caterer Ron Donald on this short-lived Starz comedy series.
Pass.
Joe Latruglio plays this Epicurean cop on Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Charles.
Carrie Kenny Silver recurred as Glenn's wife Jerusha on this NBC sitcom.
Pass.
Thomas Lennon played Officer Jim Dangle on this Comedy Central series.
Oh, Comedy Central, The Odd Couple?
Reno 911. Director and co-writer David Wayne spoofs rom-com tropes in this Amy Poehler movie.
Baby Mama?
They Came Together. Michael and Michael have these on a 2009 comedy series.
Pass.
This late 90s sketch series satirized European variety shows.
Pass.
Michael Showalter directs her to an Oscar for The Eyes of Tammy Faye.
Chastain.
Joel McHale plays this former Community co-star in A Futile and Stupid Gesture.
Chevy Chase.
Kevin Allison hosts this live storytelling show and accompanying podcast.
Pass.
Tom Lennon and Robert Ben-Gurant have writing credits on this Ben Stiller series of family films.
Meet the Parents.
It is the Night at the Museum movies. All right, Dan, let's hear the Tim report and our final scores.
Oh, boy, Taylor, I was holding my breath at the end there. Let's go through the passes. The Wet Hot American Summer prequel series was called First Day of Camp. Ken Marino plays a caterer on Party Down. Carrie Kenny Silver recurs as Glenn's wife Jerusha on Superstore. Michael and Michael have issues on a 2009 comedy series. And the late 90s Comedy Central sketch show that had just bizarre ads that didn't make any sense, where they're all dressed up like Europeans, was called Viva Variety. Finally, Kevin Allison hosts the live storytelling show Risk with an exclamation point, which means it's a musical. I don't know if that's true, but I'm going to believe it is. Tim needed 4 correct answers to take the win. So our final scores are Dan with 135, Tim with 135, and our winner today is Matthew with 140.
Wow. Ooh,
wow. Squeaker, good job.
Squeaker.
Well done.
Well done.
Good job.
Matthew.
Thank you.
Congratulations, Matthew. The rare coming from third place to first place in the lightning round doesn't happen often. Always very exciting when it does. Well done. But that does mean it is the end of the road here on the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show for Dan and Tim. Two fantastic contestants. Really great time this season. We'd love to have you back in a future season. Absolutely. In the meantime, though, you can find Dan on Twitter at dmorin. He also hosts the great tech podcast, The Rebound, Clockwise, and several more over at The Incomparable, including Inconceivable, a trivia podcast that would probably appeal to fans of this show. All his collected works and so much more are on his website, dmorin.com. Also, you can check out Tim's music and photography at timrogersmusic.com and read his blogs about Disney World at themouseforless.com. Links to all the things I just mentioned are in your show notes, so scroll on down and click them. Congratulations one more time to Matthew. You're going to be moving into our Season 7 finale, where you'll compete to become our 7th Super Mondo Champion of Champions. You can also follow Matthew on our Season 7 bracket as the Kiwi Emoji. Well, that'll wrap it up for this week. Be sure to join us next time for the Monster Division Finals. Sidebar, did you know that Dan Cassino's favorite REM album is Monster? It's wild and insane, and I can't condone it. That said, I've been your host, Taylor Cole, and on behalf of Scoremaster Dan, Production Master Dave, Dan, Matthew, and Tim, thank you for listening to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show.
I know how you get around this argument, arguing that kids love injuries, and one of the injuries they love is a man giving himself paper cuts. That's the true scar
kids
for life
blood.
Yeah, kids love paper cuts. Oh, that scene. Ugh.